This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Hey Joshua, can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Oh, okay.
Go on then. Josh Widdicombe.
I said Josh Widdicombe.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett. Well done, my love.
Oh, that was
there
a nice
go.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was that?
That was Hi, Rob and Josh. Love, capital letters, the podcast. I've been listening to it continuously as I only discovered it a month ago thanks to the Catherine Ryan podcast. Here's my two... Ooh. Blimey, working from the start, right? Here's my two-year-old son, Joshua, saying your names. He was born...
Oh, no, I think it was from her, Catherine Ryan's own podcast.
Oh,
she rung me the other day for parenting advice about something, but she rung me and I didn't realise I was on the phone, so I was just letting loose like you normally do before you see the little red dot of recording. I was like, fucking hell, Kath, you have to take that out, wouldn't you? But I think that's what she's referring to. Catherine Ryan's great podcast.
Right. Here's my two-year-old son... Joshua, saying your names. He was born 6.5 weeks early, which was very scary. But with the help and care of NHS, we all got through it together. He was eating raisins at the time. I presume they mean while doing the recording, not while he was being born. He was eating raisins at the time.
Jesus Christ. How early was he? He didn't even come out in grape form.
And one of them wasn't in it to his liking, in case you're wondering why he said yuck. Take care, Laura. There we go.
I do find raisins are a real mixed bag of a snack.
Oh, crap, aren't they? They're crap.
Strawberries as well. Out of season strawberries. Bitter bastards.
Yeah.
And they're all red. They're all red like they're fucking juicy. And they're not.
Growing up on Dartmoor, Rob, we just used to pick wild strawberries.
Oh, you're a little feral child, aren't you? Little feral, little dirty knees. But you still got dirty knees. You can't clean it off. I mean, so running around in shorts in winter. Dirty knees.
Do I come across as the kind of child that went outside?
You come across as a dirty knee boy.
Do I?
Yeah, my mum always thinks you look scruffy and dirty. We've spoke about this because of your shoes.
Yeah, because of my shoes. I've never had dirty knees in my life.
I like that, Josh. Do you know what he needs? Do you know what he needs? A good wash. That's the kind of thing she'd say.
Do you know what? Never had dirty knees, except obviously when I fell over jogging about 2 months ago.
Yeah, scuffed knees. Poor Josh. How are you, Josh?
I'm all right. I mean, we've done so many recordings of this week, Rob, that I don't actually feel like I've seen my kids.
Do you know what? I feel like you've done Last Leg as well last night.
Yeah, I did.
This is our Tuesday episode, but we're having to record it on Saturday morning due to work commitments next week. And you've just woken up, and I've been awake for nearly 6 hours. So I'm flying.
So I got back at 1.
1 a.m.?
1 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the problem is... I got back at 12:30, I think, because I was particularly tired. Problem is, I can't sleep straight away after the last night.
No,
leg, so.
You have a lonely pint and watch Blur documentaries, we know this.
Well, last night I tried to have a glass of red wine, but I was just too tired. I thought, what's this doing? What's the point?
Did you watch anything or go straight to bed?
Well, I stayed at the BBC and we had... I tried to have a chat, but I just didn't have anything to offer.
I've got nothing to say to people. No. You've been there all week sorting out that show. Last thing you need to do is talk to them about the show again.
Talk to them about the bloody show.
I hate watching the show back and talking about the show. I know people involved in it like it. That's why I like live podcasts and live stand-up and live TV, because done, see you later, slap you on the arse, I'm off home.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with the BBC, isn't it? Slap you on the arse. They have tried to eradicate that from the building, but it's some of it still goes on.
Trousers down, slap me on the arse, see you next week. you're a bit tired.
Yeah,
Josh.
Got to bed at one. No, all right. So we've had a bit of a break. Oh no, I don't want to say that, Rob.
What? Because you had a breakthrough. Yeah. Go on, talk about the breakthrough.
So I told you last week about him listening to kind of musicalized nursery rhymes, like little musical nursery rhymes on Spotify.
Yeah,
it is like absolute. It's like giving him a Valium. It knocks him out, Rob.
Really?
So. He goes back out now. You know, he was waking up at 5 to feed and then not going back to sleep.
Yep.
Pop on a nursery rhyme. He's going back down till 6:20 this morning, Rob. 6:20. So what am I, a fucking student? Getting up at 6:20?
You big lazy layabout. Bloody hell. What about... You big swampy over it.
Yeah. No wonder I've got dirty knees. Never out of bed.
I've got, there's not like an ethical earth campaigner that you could take the piss out of now. Like Swampy was allowed to, but you can't say Greta Thunberg because she's quite, she's got up and about and quite clean looking,
isn't
she?
Yeah, exactly. She's, if anything, she's got a lot of up, get up and go, hasn't she?
You can shove your climate change up your ass. You can shove your climate change up your ass. I love that. That was fun, wasn't it?
See, do you know what? My son would probably go to sleep if he heard that.
I would love that. Get Greta in for a live performance. Does she do PAs? She's got her own money somehow.
Yeah.
The only problem is you book her, but it takes her 6 months to get her because she sails.
So you got up at 6:30.
So your breakthrough is that your child wakes up at 6:20 now.
Yeah, it's insane.
I don't think that's as great as you think it is.
I think it is, Rob.
Okay, all right, that's fine then. If that's what you think.
Because in my head...
There's people without children listening to this, Josh. And you sound mad.
That's why they're
you
listening.
You sound insane. You're buzzing off getting up at 6:20 a.m. After already being woken up at 5.
But, yeah, exactly. So I then... All right. I got up at 6:20.
Yeah,
I said to Rose, I'll go back to bed because she's been up since 5. She got up feeding at 5. I said, I said, I'll do 45 minutes, let you have a bit of a lie-in, and then I'll go back to bed until the podcast.
Okay.
So I did that. Also, another huge breakthrough, Rob.
Go on.
And this is quite emotional, Rob.
All right.
We've got to the point now. It's just child 2.
Yeah.
We've got to the point where we're losing items. They're no longer being needed. We're retiring items forever.
Oh, okay. I get. So what's gone?
The bounce chair, the little bounce chair you put them in. R.I.P.
So what if you got? So you're ruling out a third completely.
Yeah, I am, mate. Oh, well, I have to buy another bounce chair.
That's going to be the real low moment, isn't it? That you're celebrating the retirement.
The problem is, Rose is publicly, and I think she is ruling out a third. But she is being
publicly
resistant.
Like what she's like,
to me, to me,
FTSE 100 combo. She's taken it to the board and she spoke to the shareholders and she's ruling it out.
I'm worried there's a rogue trader going on here, Rob.
I think there could be.
She's resistant to getting rid of the bounce chair. I said, shall we just put it on the street now? Let's just fucking do it.
Oh, so you want to like fully get rid, give it away to someone, take it to a charity
shop. Let's get it out of the kitchen, put it on the street. Someone will want it.
Just like as a morale boost. Like, look, we've got rid of the bounce chair. Things are moving forward. But
exactly.
She's resistant to the bounce chair.
She said she wasn't emotionally ready to get rid of the bounce chair. What
this
the fuck does that mean, Rob? What does that mean?
I'll tell you what that fucking means, mate. You're having a third and there's nothing you can do about it. Yes, it does, mate. She don't want to retire the bounce chair. It's the first sign. It's a red flag. There's no fucking way. She's too emotionally attached to a bounce chair. Josh, you know what it means. You don't need me to tell you. You know what it means.
Well, I'll update you next week. I'm going to push to get rid of this bounce chair because I need it. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of my freedom.
Well, why is she too emotionally attached to a bounce chair? I understand clothes. There's little baby clothes that Lou doesn't want to get rid of. I get that. Bounce chair. And also, we know Rose. She loves to trade furniture. She needs space. She needs knick-knack room. But that's being taken by bounce chair.
And she hates clutter.
She hates clutter.
Why does she want to keep the bounce chair?
No, she likes ordered clutter.
Yeah,
she likes knick-knack clutter.
Yeah,
not
but she does
plastic
not like
bounce chair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just saying, why? If you don't need it and you're not having any more kids, why keep it?
Right, Rob. Well, let's. I can feel you're angry because of your dog. And you're trying,
I'm not angry, mate. I'm happy now. don't you dare accuse me of being angry. How can someone be angry when they've seen, you know, the sunset and rise in one day without sleeping? How can someone that's taken in the beauty of the earth, like, you say, oh, yeah, I've seen the stars in the middle of the night whilst picking up shit. I'm not angry. I'm enjoying life. I'm taking it all on my chin.
Can I ask you a question? Do you need a bounce chair for your dog? Because anyway, I got up.
Yeah.
Did the time. He's gone into the high chair, which is just brilliant. Because, I mean, you're going to enjoy this, but...
Go on.
You know he won't be put down. Yeah, or no. He wouldn't.
Yeah, he just needs to be held, yep.
He just needs to be held because he was teething. Yeah. My back went, Rob, holding a fucking baby. I screamed in pain.
How big's the baby?
Dude, it's a normal sized baby, but it was the repetition.
Yeah, but
of
if you're losing
baby.
Weight, but you're losing weight at the moment. You're exercising, yeah. And he's putting on weight. But are you nearing each other's same weight?
I'm in the bounce chair.
Rose is going, Josh is wasting away. I'll pop him in the bounce chair next time he gets anxious about a TV show. But your back went. So what's the score?
It's just quite painful. I think it feels like it's getting better.
But
Luke's
got a
really
bad back. Have you got a back guy?
It's not. Yeah, I have got a back guy.
You got a back guy?
Yeah, I've got an osteopath. He visits your house.
No way.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, mate, dear me, the back guy's deets.
He's great. He visits your house. He talks to you about Tottenham, and then he does.
Oh,
he makes
no,
your back
actually,
better.
Keep it to yourself. I don't want Tottenham around mine. I'd rather have a bad back.
So then I went back to bed at 8
yep.
this morning.
Yep.
And I'm not gonna lie. I really considered, because I'd enjoyed it so much.
Everyone just have a quick shot if you're playing the Josh Widdicombe drinking game.
Because I've been really enjoying it. I toyed with putting the nursery rhymes on, because they are getting me off to sleep so well, Rob.
So now you're benefiting from the nursery rhymes.
Yeah, it's so pleasant to have the nursery rhymes on at night.
So you're starting to listen to it.
Well, I didn't do it because I thought it's a bit weird. It's like something you'd hear about Michael Jackson. Do you know what I mean? Like...
I think that's fine. As long as you're just not sleeping with a child actor next to you as you're listening to it.
Okay, yeah, I invited round Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, Thomas Turgoose making him dress up in This Is England outfit. Big bulky DMs on. Come on, Tom. Have a little lay down here with old Joshy. Joshy
no,
dogs.
I didn't do that.
No,
but
yeah.
But I did feel it was weird.
No, I think that's okay.
Okay, good.
That's fine. What's normal? I find weird when the kids go to school and then, like, I realise Mr. Tumble's been on for an hour. You know, what am I doing?
My daughter's got into some non-kids TV. So on Halloween,
yeah,
she wanted to watch a pumpkin being carved on TV, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
So we put on a thing on YouTube of a thing called Dave Hacks, H-A-X, right?
Dave Hacks, yeah. Okay.
And he's like a dweeb. But he does stuff like shows you the best ways to do things.
Yeah.
She's become fucking obsessed with Dave Hacks.
Dave Hacks?
So it'll be stuff like different ways of cutting an apple or trying these kitchen equipment or...
Oh, really?
How to build a little boat out of, what are they called? Lolly sticks and stuff.
Kitchen gadgets. Oh, how to cut a hot dog.
Yeah, watch 30 seconds of Dave Hacks now, Rob.
Okay, right. Good.
And this is what my daughter is watching for 2 hours a day.
Okay. Oh, he's a nice little nerd, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's very gentle, isn't he?
Yeah, so she's obsessed with this.
It's very kids TV, though. He's got the little jingly-jangly music. I'm quite enjoying it. I've never seen a potato be undressed that quick.
No, it's amazing. He's very good at what he does.
If you want a potato peel, Dave Hacks your man.
The other day, we finished a packet of wet wipes, and... My daughter turned to me and she said, Dave Hacks wouldn't throw that away. He'd use that for something.
Would he? Okay. She does like Dave
Hacks. She's become obsessed with, like, yeah, she loves Dave Hacks.
No, the most adult-y thing they like is sort of Simpsons, not really any sort of YouTube. They're watching that weird Ryan kid on YouTube. I don't even know how they're accessing it. They've just got their, like, Amazon Fire tablet things, which I hate. I can't work them. I prefer them to have Apple, but they're cheaper and they keep breaking them. Why is that funny?
I hate them, but they are cheaper. So,
yeah, I hate them. I can't work them, but they're cheaper. Yeah, no, I'd love to give Dave... I'll see if my kids like Dave Hacks. We'll try and get him on.
I mean, it's a very weird thing. I think she might be quite an eccentric child. If she stays into Dave Hacks when she gets to school, it's going to cause all
kinds
of problems.
He's got 6 million YouTube followers. He's doing well.
Yeah, he's a millionaire, Rob.
He's a millionaire, Dave Hacks.
I watched this morning at 6:30 with her. I watched a video about how to make a white chocolate milk bottle.
Oh, really? A white... Do you know what? I bought my daughter the other day from the gym cafe. She wanted a strawberry milkshake. I didn't realise. I brought her a Super Boost protein shake.
Oh, my word.
She's
going to
be absolutely hench by next
week. She's absolutely ripped.
Absolutely. I'll do my back out and picking her up next week. Just picking up a little world's strongest woman.
How's your week been, Rob?
Do you know what? It's got a lot better with a dog. It is...
Oh,
hard.
That's a shame.
A few things that basically the shift pattern we're on at the moment, Josh, right? It's got better. Last night was really good.
Yeah.
But essentially, we put the dog in his little crate at about 11. Now he doesn't cry going in. He used to whimper a little bit, till it goes in. And then at the start of the week, he was waking up every hour and a half, 2 hours crying. I took him out for a wee, did a wee, went back, he went asleep. 2 hours later, and I was doing the night time, so I was getting up at like 1 a.m, 3 a.m, and about 5 a.m, and then Lou would get up about 5:30 for the day the kids and the dog, right? I did that for three nights.
There's no nursery rhymes.
No, I did that for three nights. On the fourth night, I had almost a severe mental breakdown, and Lou had to do an intervention me to bed.
Oh, God.
And then now, I'm doing the mornings and Lou's doing the night. But last night, the dog didn't even wake up. Well, woke up once at 3 a.m. for a wee, and that was it. And then he woke up when the kids woke up in the morning. And that's only after...
So how do you train them through the night? Just they will just get better?
Basically, their bladder gets bigger. They literally can't hold the wee.
Right,
so they can hold the wee.
Okay.
They won't ever want to wee in their crate because it's where they sleep and they like it. They don't want to be... They're not dirty like that.
So they'll be... Do they whine?
Yeah, so they whine going, I can't hold it, I can't hold it.
Do an impression of what we're hearing?
What's that?
Do an impression of what you're waking up to, what sound? Blimey,
that's pretty
really good,
isn't it? That I'm like the geezer out of Police Academy. but yeah, so that's good, right? So that's fine. But and now I'm sort of doing the mornings. We're shifting up, so actually it's not as bad as it was. Lou actually told me off after listening to the last week's episode for slagging off dog and making people think that we can't cope with the dog. And I was like,
gosh,
are you aware that I've slagged off our kids for 2 years on this podcast? But the dog's the line, apparently. So I was like, okay, that's fine. But I've spoken about the dog the same way I've spoken about...
The dog's never going to listen to this when it's grown up and need therapy.
Well, we never know.
Do you know what I mean?
We don't know what technology we'll be able to do in the future, Josh.
Yes.
You know, we can't say that for certain. In the metaverse, old Freddy will be going... He'll be in therapy. He'll be in dog therapy talking about the time that his dad slagged him off. one thing annoying about the dog, Josh, because I want to do loads of Instagrams of other people because you've heard enough from us the last couple of weeks. I've worked out the Whippet, classically a working class northern dog, in South London, in certain parts, it's a hipster dog. So now I'm having fucking hipsters come up to me saying like, cool dog, and I want to kill them.
Oh no, Rob.
And I actually...
There's always a space for you in Hackney, mate. If you want to come and see us all in Hackney.
I went and met my mates in a pub in Lewisham, right? And we're a little bit half hipster, half not, my mates, to be fair, because we're from South London, and then we were quite excited when it got a bit gentrified and the new stuff come in. But then it got to the point where even when I was on the telly, I couldn't afford a flat in New Cross or Broccoli, and I had to move out.
No, you can't even afford an iPad.
No, exactly. So I went to this pub in Lewisham and a Whippet came in with its owners. Lovely couple, hipstery couple, absolutely fine. Dog come in with a coat on, even though it was indoors, like a jumper. And also, you know them little sort of lamb rugs?
Yeah.
That you get from IKEA? Those little, not actually lamb, they're fake fur, but look like big furry white polar bear type rug things.
Right,
A little one of them from IKEA, put on the floor of the pub for the dog to lie on.
Oh, my word.
And I like my dog, right? But I'm not a dog. Some people treat their dog like a child. I treat this dog a bit like a pissed up stag. On a stag do.
Yeah.
And I come downstairs like, you're all right, mate, do you need a piss or what? That's my attitude, not, oh, my little baby. Yeah, I want a dog, he runs fast, take him for a walk, I can get pissed with him and I don't feel like I'm alone. That's what I want a dog for.
Yeah,
is that fair? Right.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So, but these people treat this dog like a baby. And then I was chatting about a dog and I was pissed. And I was like, they're nice little dogs, aren't they? And I couldn't speak. You know, you're a bit pissed, you can't speak properly. I went, they run about 30 miles per hour. Right? And it was like looking at me funny. I went, because they're like half cat, half dog, aren't they? They don't do much. And they looked at me with actual disgust. But that's just because I think it's their sort of special little dog. But I'm a bit annoyed.
Are you getting a whippet? Is that going to adversely affect the reputation of whippets?
Look, I've got a feeling whipsters. Whipsters.
That's what they'll call them.
They'll be called whipsters.
You're a whipster, mate.
Oh, shit. I think Lou is
more of a whipster than you are, Rob.
Lou's more of a whipster than me. I'm just there by proxy. What I'm saying here is, when they take off as dog, I don't want to be accused of starting the whipster, hipster, whippet trend. I brought back the bucket hat. I'm not bringing back the whippet. Right? I'm doing it on my own accord, and don't drag me down with the hipsters. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
I think it's two separate areas of whippet. I'm going to keep my eyes out for whipsters in Hackney, because obviously you'd think...
Yes.
You'd think this was an absolute haven of whipsters.
There are, look, trust me, once you see them, hipsters with whippets, there's whipsters all over the gaff.
Do you know
any whipster photos, please send them in.
My friend Magali, she's a whipster. She is the aunt of the sexy skateboarder.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, and the sexy skateboarder. Yeah, it's all falling into place. Yeah. But I just don't think you should take a rug to a pub for a dog.
No, I don't think so.
Well, whippets, in their defence, are skinny and do need jumpers and sometimes coats because they've got really thin fur and thin skin, so they can cut themselves.
This is Rob telling me that he's bought his dog a jumper.
I haven't, Luaz, but they do get cold. I refuse to put the jumper on the dog, but Lou sometimes does.
How easy is it to put a jumper on a dog? Do they care? Do they button up, or do you have to put it over the head like a child?
It's all different combos. Some's got a bit of elastic on. Sometimes I just bite it off. Sometimes you lose a leg in, and sometimes I whip out a leg. She's got like a roll neck jumper for this dog. Looks like a fucking fisherman. Ridiculous. But anyway, keep your eye out for whipsters. But I'm a bit worried about being a whipster. But parenting-wise, one thing that's annoying about the dog is the kids always want the dog on the lap. But their lap's a bit too small, so the dog always comes and sits on my lap. And then they go, but I want doggy in my lap. I don't. I'm like, it's not a toy. I can't make the dog sit on a lap.
Oh, God,
and then what they start doing is they go, Dad, do you need to go somewhere? Do you need to get up? So that I get up, so that then the whippet then sits on the next.
Yeah.
Also, I don't even call the dog by its name. I just call it the dog. Is that bad?
Well, you are using his name here, Freddy. It's not like with your kids. It's not like you've
I'm not trying to protect his identity. I like the dog. But I think if you're trying to bond with anything, if your main bonding time is 3 a.m. picking up its shit, it's a tough bonding session.
Exactly.
But I do love having the dog, and I really like the dog.
Some
people really love their dog, but I don't. I feel like I don't love the dog enough.
But you'll get there.
I love having the dog. But my mate... Like, I felt guilty the other night. I was talking about why it's so nice when you have a dog. They're so friendly when you get home. We went to the pub, and when he got back, he sent a text to the WhatsApp group going, this is my dog, and look how lovely she is. And he was stroking her and sent a video of her stroking her. I was in bed, and I realised I didn't even say hello to the dog. I just went straight to bed.
That's all right, Rob. It's a dog.
Is that right? It's a dog.
Also, think how cold a lot of whipsters are with their dogs. They're too cool to say they love their dogs.
Exactly. And I'm around with the dog all day.
Too postmodern and ironic to love their dogs. So
I love spending time with the dog, but I don't see it as a child.
You're not in love. Ross Geller.
I love the dog, but I'm not in love with the dog yet.
Yeah.
But I think I'll get there.
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's good. And I look forward to tracking your journey with the dog and your inevitable second and third dogs. Do you love your cat?
No.
Let's do some correspondence.
Right, okay, let's do some... I've got some brilliant Instagram messages.
Yeah, right, hit me with your Instagrams.
I like hearing from the listeners. I've been blabbering on about this fucking dog too much. Okay, Josh, you remember the fast forward name? You know, the name for the fast forwarding? On Sky Plus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, lovely.
What are we call it? You got any juice to fast forward up to speed? What do you call it in your house?
Well, Rob, just as an aside. Sorry, it's just reminding me of something, of how little time I have in my evening. So this is how little time we have to watch TV in the evening. Sorry. We're trying to watch a documentary about Suge Knight. Do you know Suge Knight of Death Row Records?
Yes, the hip-hop producer that's now in prison. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? We've done two nights and we're only two-thirds of the way through it, Rob. It's an hour and a half. We don't have time to fucking fast-forward through adverts. We only get to sit down for half an hour a night before we go into fucking bed, mate.
But I spend too long trying to pick. Do you know what I watched this morning at 5 a.m.?
What?
Danny Dyer and Danny Dyer, celebrity auction house, whatever it's called, Antiques Road Trip.
Celebrity Antiques Road Trip?
Road Trip, that's it. And they get a classic car, and it's Danny Dyer and Danny Dyer. Show. Big Danny Dyer, little Danny Dyer.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How did, she's did like, you find that, or was it just on? It just,
do you know it was? I just felt like such a sheep. I went to catch up on Sky Plus. It was the first thing they suggested.
Oh, mate.
Pathetic little robot boy. Little sheeple. Spoon-fed. Spoon-fed entertainment.
How did
they
do?
I'm too tired and weak. I didn't even watch it. I started playing FIFA on my Switch.
I don't think we've got a word for skipping adverts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start implementing the best one that we hear on this podcast.
Okay. I've got some options. Here we go. Hi, Rob and Josh and Mikey boy. I had to message in a long-time listener and lover of the podcast, Zero Sprogs But One Dog. Just listen to the latest episode where Rob mentioned, have you got any juice? I'm 22, still living with my dad. His biggest issue in life is sitting through adverts. We say, is there any in the bag?
Oh, that's nice.
And if the answer is no, he will sit and repeatedly chant, dead time, dead time, dead time, until I've changed the channel so the advert torture ends.
Dead time, dead time, dead time. Wow.
I think that's he's sort of like almost like going, you need to make sure that we start this later or get some juice in the bag. There's something in the bag. Thank you. This is from Amelia. Thank you so much for the amazing content that keep us going through lockdown. I tell all my childless friends to listen. Best form of contraception. Okay, that was Amelia. We've got another one here. The fast forward to thing. My mummy says... My little girl says, Mummy, can you do the magic?
Oh.
Do the magic's good, isn't it?
Do the magic, yeah. Should we do the magic?
Should we do the magic? You can't say that to Rose at 9 at night, Josh.
No, it doesn't.
She'd go, not again. Or maybe, we've kept the bouncer.
I'd prefer to buy a new bouncer, Rob. I prefer just to buy a new bouncer and for a year believe that I'm not going to need one.
I cannot wait. I'm going to write this down. What time is November 13th, 2021. And then I'm going to find this and then reply it back to you when you buy that second bouncer for your fifth kid. I remind you of the money you wasted.
They're expensive, kids, mate. They're expensive.
Mate, it's a joke. Here we go. I was catching up with a pod in the van on my way to work, and I heard Rob and Lou use the term juice when you have to do some fast-forwarding. The term me and my girlfriend use for some unknown reason is palsiness. Palsiness.
I find that a bit cutesy for my taste.
Have no idea where it came from, but we know exactly what the other is referring to when we say, babe, have you got any palsiness? That must have been implemented in the early stages of their relationship.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't deal with that. I couldn't deal with palsiness. No.
Do you want some more Instagram messages? Josh's limp. This is from Trot and Jenny. I've just listened to the episode where Josh stayed in Exeter by himself and dropped a bottle of wine on his foot.
Yeah.
He then said he was filming for something and he was trying not to limp.
Yeah.
I need to know, what was he filming? Was it Who Do You Think You Are?
It was. Can you see the limp?
Yes. She said, as when I was watching it, he appeared to be walking with a limp, and I actually Googled, is Josh Widdicombe disabled?
Oh, for God's sake, that's going to help.
And thought to myself,
SEO.
Maybe that's why he's on the last leg.
And do you know what? When I watched it back...
It's a funny walk. I watched that, and I thought, he's got a weird little walk. But do you know what the worst part is, Josh?
Oh, no.
Because you're a strange little fella, I just thought that's how it was.
That first day, when I had to do the walking shots outside the school... Yeah. And you watch it and you're like, all I can remember is the pain. All I can remember is the pain of my foot.
What, psychological at the school or just in the foot?
Exactly, of having no friends.
Oh,
no,
it's hard having no friends when there's only six kids in a class. Yeah, that is brutal. I watched that and I thought, well, he has got a funny little walk, isn't he? But I just assume that's how you walked.
No, mate. I walked.
That's bad. Sorry.
I walked like floating on air. It's
you walk
elegant,
well. You glide.
Pure elegance. Yeah, exactly.
You strike me as somebody who's quite like sort of lean and so you could be quite a good athlete, like a runner.
No,
can you run
so
well?
Heavy-footed, Rob.
Oh, your big slappy hobbit feet.
When I was going through my period about...
So you're getting chased
ago,
by an orc.
Yeah, exactly. Of being obsessed with the Ben Johnson 1988 Seoul Olympics final. I was reading a book about it.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Your life's great.
Yeah, exactly. But it said in that it was describing like running as an athlete... And you've got to like float over the ground. It's almost about not touching the ground. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
It's like your feet are just kind of kissing the tarmac as you're running, if that makes sense.
Really?
And that is the opposite. That is the opposite.
You.
I went running the other day and it's like, you know, I'm properly padding down the road.
Yeah.
And then I got a text from my personal trainer, who I go to occasionally, yeah?
They say, keep the noise down, I'm trying to sleep.
They'd driven past and they said, lift your feet up.
No way!
Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. Couldn't believe it.
Lift your feet up. Oh, no. Well, because I met Dina Asher-Smith. I think it's Britain's fastest woman ever, wasn't she? Isn't she?
Yeah, she's great, Dina Asher-Smith.
And she was on Jonathan Ross' show, and she walked into the room, and you know when it's just like, me and you, we are sort of semi-born to be comedians. We look a bit funny. The way we just sit and the talk, we sound funny. We look at... Yeah. And so she just walked in. It was like sort of like a cheetah or a leopard. The way she just walked in, like every part of her body sort of moved in the right way.
Totally.
And she was like, I didn't even know she was in the room. She was just sort of like, it was like she just floated in.
Yeah.
And like her arms and her legs, which all had these like perfect muscles all in the right place. And I was just like, that's an athlete. Look at... It's unbelievable just like athletes' bodies and how perfectly fine-tuned they are.
I remember... I filmed a thing for Last Leg where Hilsey had to race against Johnny Peacock, the 100-metre runner. And Hilsey's like... He's a jock, do you know what I mean? He's a really sporty guy.
Maybe to you.
But he was a tennis coach, like, before he was a comedian.
Oh, Hilsey. Yeah, again, that's not a jock, a tennis coach, is it? Just a rich boy with no outgoings. Isn't it? Tennis coaches are always like posh rich kids that are still living at mum and dad's massive house in Surrey. You know, if they actually started doing tennis coaching, yeah, of course you have, you fucking helmet. I don't know what it's like in Australia, but that's what I've discovered.
It's pretty alpha in Australia, the tennis world. Look at...
Come on, mate, get your fucking backhand. Get down the fucking line. Come on, juice. Come on, you drongo, work on your serve.
But he's
it is alpha Australian tennis, actually. Yeah. That Nick guy, isn't it? Is it Nick Kyrgios?
Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, he's a bit alpha.
You know, Leighton Hewitt, Pat Cash. Is he Australian? He's Australian, isn't he? Anyway, that's not him.
Bloody right, mate. Pat Cash.
Hilsey's quite sporty. That's the word I should have used. Right?
Sportier than you and Alex.
Yeah. And he... but the moment you saw him running next to Johnny Peacock, he looked like he was flailing. Do you know what I mean? Because Johnny Peacock's body is like a machine. It's like... pistons, do you know what I mean? It's just like astonishing. And what this leads us to, Rob, it wasn't leading us anywhere, but I'm going to say it. Email in, are you shit at running? Send us a video.
I am terrible. I hate it so much.
So bad. Awful. Send us a video if you or your partner is really, really shit at running.
And what's the worst things anyone said to you when you've been running? Because that happened to me. I was running around my block, just sort of build up a bit of like distance and stamina. And I started off like running half of it and walking the rest. And I built up to like running the whole thing. Then I did two laps and all that. And I was doing it. And one of my neighbours comes like, we do a running club. And they do amateur to like beginner level for you. And I was like, that's no way to build my club. Don't you come out here and go, I'm better than you at this. You're shit, but if you're coming with me...
You're a beginner runner, right. Rob, and you've been doing it 30 years. You've been running for 30 years and you're still a beginner.
Running. But I run, I'm all right, I'm fairly... I don't mind running if there's a reason to run.
Yeah.
If I'm playing football, I'll run. Bus, run. Physically attacked, run. And all these people that run marathons, right? I'd love to see the ratio of people going for divorces and running marathons. Because do you know what? It's quite easy to run for 4 hours when you hate your life. Isn't it? When you don't want to go home. I quite like going home, so I don't want to run for 3 hours. But if your life's shit, I can totally understand why you're running from it.
Do you know what? I did start doing a lot of running in lockdown because it was just the time on my own.
But maybe I'm just... Because I can't run, I'm getting rid of it. I know there's a lot of people running listening to this.
Yeah.
Keep going. You know.
But if you share it, video it and send it to us because I really want to see some people that make me feel better about my running.
Yeah, okay. If you're bad at running, send it to Josh. He'll like to see that. Tag us in on Instagram or something.
I've got an email for you, Rob.
Oh, hello. Go on then.
Hi, Josh / Rob. My husband listens to you.
No. Whoa, why are you stroking me? It's a weird request.
My husband listens to you every morning on the way to work.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
What was that, your belly?
That was a firework.
A firework?
It's 10:41 in the morning.
Oh, my God, Hackney. What is happening, Josh? As a dog owner, it's absolutely unacceptable how long firework art goes on for. Okay? Yeah. It starts about bloody mid-October, goes on to December. We get it.
My husband listens to you every morning on the way to work. He kept saying how much I would love your podcast. I'm starting from the beginning. Just listen to the episode with Ellie Taylor, the first one, with the breastfeeding story. I also had breastfeeding support. Sadly, no Elmo in sight. Instead, the health visitor So do you remember Ellie got shown with a Elmo doll?
Elmo puppet, yeah.
Instead, the health visitor used my husband on her own boob.
Well, hang on. She got... The lady who's emailed in got... was her husband had to suckle from the instructor's
tit. She was dressed,
tit.
Of course, but it was the most traumatic moment of his life. Hearing her say, nose to nipple, they smell the milk and open their mouth.
He had to do that
they
on the person teaching.
No, the person teaching had to demonstrate with him as the baby.
So he was to be in the baby onto his wife's breast.
No, onto the health worker's breast.
That's not acceptable. That's a matter for the police. even him on his own wife, there needs to be a level of consent from the wife there for that, and from the man. But to force the man to put his nose and mouth on the health worker's breasts, that cannot be okay.
No. Hearing her say, nose to nipple, they smell the milk and open their mouth, I can picture so clearly with my husband looking at me with sheer horror in his eyes, laid on a pillow which she'd put on her lap, his nose touching her ginormous boobs while she cradled him like a baby.
That is the most disgusting thing I've ever... Why is that bloke taking that?
This gets better, Rob. If you don't think this is already a sitcom moment... To make matters worse, a family friend of ours was renovating our kitchen at the time. The door from the kitchen to the lounge was shut, but he heard everything. Once she left, he came out and said, "What the fuck happened in here?" Needless to say, that was the end of our breastfeeding journey. My husband has no idea I'm sending this, but he never misses an episode. And then she's added, "Please say hi to Scott from Toowoomba, Australia." I don't know if that is her husband, who's Scott, or if that he's just getting
Toowoomba.
A joke. From Toowoomba, Australia. I don't know if she's just getting a
joke. I think he's had enough of Toowoombas, I think, from that. Right there, Scott, mate, get in here. Nose to nipple, mouth open, let's go. Suckle me dry, boy.
Wow.
God, that's not okay. That's against the law.
No. Well, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but I'd say it would be so.
To be fair, they do... They don't serve pints. It's schooners, so this may be okay there.
Exactly.
They're a strange place. It's a strange place, Australia. Right, do you want some more Instagrams? Here we go. Okay, this is a great one. Just want to say thank you for creating this podcast. Started listening in October last year when I found out my partner's preggers. He's now 4.5 months old and this content helps massively since he sleeps less than I did at 21 in someone's kitchen. Oh. I drove from Loughborough to Sussex last night and the Stephen Mangan episode made me laugh so much I had to pull over due to tears in my eyes.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Police pulled up behind me and asked me to explain why I was on the hard shoulder.
What?
And then they said, "What seems to be the issue, sir?" He said... "This Parenting Hell podcast made me laugh too much and I could no longer drive or be safe for other drivers."
Oh, my word.
He went, "Yeah, all right, pal." And he wanted to run some checks, took his details and made him do a breathalyzer.
Amazing. Amazing. And he blew
clear, no alcohol in the system, and then he got sent on his way. But he blames us solely for this trauma. That's funny, Nick. I love that, Nick.
That is amazing. Thank you.
Okay, hi guys, this is from Juliba. Hi guys, I just listened to Rob talking about the racket that is the school photos business and had to let you know how my kids' school have taken it even further. This is the cost of all the school photos you have to get and stupid mugs you can get on. This year, my youngest has started reception, joining his older brother in the same school. Finally, I thought I can get the sibling photo and pay out only once for the grandparent photo bundle. His nursery did photos too, but now I can get one sibling photo at the school they are both at. I even went so far as to prepare my eldest kid by offering him a bribe, as he usually refuses to be in photos with his brother. So the bribe was offered. He said yes. Sent them off to school, hoping they could do the sibling photo. All sorted. Oh, no. Despite the classes no longer being bubbles, playground mixing is okay, and year six acting as reading buddies to the reception class, we received an email stating they would not be allowing sibling photos because, if you guessed it, COVID.
Oh, my word. Come on now.
They're siblings. They're in the same house. Unbelievable. Dirty bastards.
That is unbelievable.
Scum. Look at them. That's got to be some sort of, like, racket with the photographer in the school. Yeah, just say because of COVID. Yeah. Arseholes.
Well, I've got... We can't put these on our Instagram because it's a photo of a friend's child. So I'm going to show you what my friend... it's Pearl's friend. She had her first school photo, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you what she looks like. So you get a feeling for...
So we can't put this up to
no,
you,
No, because it's someone's child. But all right, I just want to hear your reaction to the school photo. So this is her with Pearl. She's in the pink. So that's what
she's in the pink, very pretty blonde girl.
Yeah. So this is what was returned from the school as her school photo.
Oh, fuck off. That's... I mean, that is... Just take a second photo.
It's an unacceptably bad photo of that child.
Okay right.
Compare the look of the child.
Okay, this is right. We can't show this because it's your friend and they don't want their child on the internet, which is fair enough. Yeah. However, if you have a similar before and after photo, a beautiful photo of your child of what they look like normally, and then what the school took and tried to charge you 30 quid for, please send them in if you're happy for us to put them on the Instagram page, and we'll put the best ones up. Because that I think... You need to go to some sort of court of human rights for that. Because you can't... That's going to psychologically damage the kid if that's her school photo. Because it's like gaslighting her. She doesn't look like that.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't have a double chin at the age of five.
No, it's because she's gone backwards because she's probably felt a bit awkward and her chin's gone down. Her teeth have come all out and she's not quite open her eyes.
She's done a smile, which a lot of kids do at this stage. Like, you know that episode of Friends where Chandler can't smile in a photo?
Yeah, it's our hostage photo. Right, oh, okay, we've done ages. Should we do small business shout and I'll do these ones on Friday?
Oh, and it's a good one on Friday as well, Rob, because it's Paris Fury. Six kids.
Yes, six kids.
Off
Paris
the back
Fury.
Of Sophie Ellis-Bextor. We're doing 11 kids in two episodes.
Kids in two eps. Right, yeah, we've got Paris Fury on Friday. Here's my small business shout out, Josh.
Yep.
Hi, Rob and Josh. I've been an avid listener since day one. I have two kids, Holly 8 and Harry 13, and your podcast is hilarious. I only wish you made more. I own a small local cleaning business, and your podcast get me through the day scrubbing kitchens. If you could give me a small business shout out, that would be amazing. I started the business 3 years ago with just myself, but decided to grow it, and since March 2021 I've taken on 6 part-time employees. Well done, congratulations. Great. That's amazing. I love stories like that, going out on your own, taking a risk, but it paying off. We are called Shiny and New Cleaning Services and we are based in Bolton. We do house cleaning, office cleaning and pretty much any premises cleaning. Our website is www.shinyandnewcleaningservices.com.
That's a long old website.
If I can give you some advice, get an Instagram page up. Do before and after oven cleaning, hob cleaning, toilet cleaning, whatever it is you're cleaning that's dirty. Show it dirty, show it clean so people can see you working. Because people go, oh, I live in Bolton. I've got a great cleaner. What are they called? Shiny and New Cleaning Services. This is their Instagram. They'll find you on it and they'll book you through it. So do that. I promise you it'll help. Josh.
Hello, we are two sisters, Sam and Max, and we created a small business in lockdown making handmade, vegan, non-toxic candles. These candles are insane, Rob. They're so good. In beautiful, unique designs. We donate a percentage of our profit each month to a charity supporting women. It is called Beatrice's Bedroom because that was our band name when we were teenagers.
Ah.
That is at, this is on Instagram, Beatrice's, Beatrice's _bedroom. That's bedroom.
Fair enough.
And these are superb looking candles. If you like candles, which I'm not going to lie to you, you won't be surprised to know, my wife does.
Now, she loves a candle.
She loves a candle. We will be back on Friday with Paris Fury. It's absolute cracker.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? Enjoy it.
Bye.